Welcome to Press A to Play, an exploration of video game music from Northwest Public Broadcasting. Together, we're going on a journey through the world of video game music, which has grown from the beeps and boops of chiptunes in the 80s to the fully orchestrated cinematic soundtracks of today. Get ready to play. Let's press A. I'm Anjali Dodia. I'm a trained singer and a classical music host.
I'm Devin Gay, lifelong gamer and amateur game developer.
I'm Connor Henriksen. I have some musical training and play some games, so I'm just here to make sure everybody gets along.
So whether you, like us, are a video game aficionado, a casual gamer, or you know nothing about video games, you're in the right place to learn more about this vast and wonderful genre.
Video games have been around for about half a century now, and the industry's grown a lot since the days of Pong, Pac-Man, and Tetris. Nowadays, it's big business.
So today, we're exploring the studios you might call the big, heavy hitters of the Northwest. That's AAA studios with big teams, big budgets, the likes of Bungie, Valve, and Sucker Punch.
And big budgets mean big soundtracks.
Yes, and they are sometimes big and bombastic, sometimes more atmospheric, not unlike a film score. We'll start with a track that many gamers will recognize, produced by Bungie in Bellevue, Washington, the opening suite from Halo Combat Evolved.
Thank you.
That's the opening suite from the Halo original soundtrack, as composed by Martin O'Donnell and Michael Salvatori, and performed by the Chicago Symphony with members of the Chicago Lyric Opera Orchestra.
Man, to any kid who had an Xbox in 2001 and whose parents would let them play a game with guns, those opening voices are so iconic. You remember loading into the main screen, seeing this big ring-shaped planet floating in space, and those voices just take you away. It's wonderful.
It's inspired by Gregorian chant, right? Among other things?
Yeah, inspired by Gregorian chant initially, and then, you know, kind of moved away from it later in the piece.
And if you're listening and thinking, you know, this is the kind of music that can get me motivated, or it's something that I want to have on in the background while I'm studying or doing chores, well, you're not alone.
Oh, for sure. It's actually still one of the best-selling video game soundtracks of all time. You know, that big, sweeping orchestral score really pushed the boundaries of what people thought music and video games could be. And that's part of what made Halo one of the greatest video game franchises of the 2000s.
From Martin O'Donnell and Michael Salvatori's soundtrack for the game Halo. That was Under Cover of Night.
And that piece is a bit more subdued, maybe even a little directionless. That's because while, yes, Halo is a big game with a lot of combat and excitement, there's also a lot of downtime breaking up the action.
It honestly plays out a lot like a film in that way. You've got these big dramatic shootouts and battles, But also you're out there exploring all these alien lands and architecture, having these moments of wonder and awe and sometimes terror. And then throw in some mystery and intrigue as you learn just what that titular halo actually is.
And that's a great sci-fi set piece all by itself. The halo is this planet-sized ring. The inside of it is lined with all this natural terrain, scattered alien architecture, and it becomes the battlefront in a war between humanity and an alien race who think the halo is actually a giant planet-destroying weapon. This means that while you're playing the game, you get to see the inside of this giant ring world stretching up and into the sky on either side of you, giving this amazing sense of scale.
Yes, that does sound like something exactly straight from a sci-fi movie. So for our last selection from the Halo original soundtrack by Martin O'Donnell and Michael Salvatori, as performed by the Chicago Symphony and members of the Chicago Lyric Opera Orchestra, this is Brothers in Arms. You've heard selections from the Halo original soundtrack as produced by Bungie, one of our major video game studios based in Bellevue, Washington. You're listening to Press A to Play, an exploration of video game music. I'm Anjali Dodia.
I'm Connor Henriksen.
I'm Devin Gay.
And on this episode, we're listening to the soundtracks of games produced by Northwest Heavy Hitters, big AAA studios based in the Pacific Northwest that have produced some iconic games. What are we listening to next?
Well, next up, we've got another game from Bungie. These are selections from the game Destiny 2.
Now, because this soundtrack was created by a studio based in the Northwest, it makes sense that it was recorded by Northwest musicians. The Northwest Sinfonia is the ensemble in this case, their session orchestra based in Seattle. But the world-renowned Kronos Quartet also collaborated on this soundtrack. From Destiny 2, this is View from Orbit.
Thank you.
And that was View from Orbit from the Destiny 2 soundtrack as composed by Michael Salvatori, Sky Lewin, and C. Paul Johnson.
Very different instrumentation, but a really similar feel to that opening track from Halo, because once again, the game's title screen has you in orbit looking down on the planet.
Yeah, Destiny and Halo have a lot in common. Bungie was pretty much sticking to what they know. Destiny is set some 700 years in the future. Humanity spread across the universe and then collapsed back down to almost nothing. All of our colonies and settlements out in space were taken over by different alien races. What's left of mankind is trying to reclaim their space in the universe.
One of the things that sets Destiny apart from Halo, though, is that it's much more of a team-based game. It's still, you know, a space warfare kind of thing, but it's one where you play with a group of friends and you cooperate on missions and follow the story together, usually taking on different roles to support the team.
So you're not just shooting each other, you're usually working together to solve problems and to progress through the game and the story, right? We're going to hear a couple more selections from the Destiny 2 soundtrack. This first one is called Red Legion.
Right. Red Legion is one of the alien races that you're pretty consistently fighting against. It's this track that picks up whenever you're going into combat. You might not even know where they are yet, but as soon as you hear this piece start, you know you're in for a fight.
That sounds intense. Let's listen. This is Red Legion from Destiny 2. It's really interesting with everything we've listened to, how the components of the music flow into each other. So you could move from one area to another, or the action of the game can change, and the music changes seamlessly along with it.
Oh, for sure. You know, a movie score might be written to carry you from scene to scene, from emotion to emotion. But if a video game wants to do the same thing, the developers have to do it dynamically, because they don't know if you might stop to stare at the scenery for a while, or how long you might be under enemy fire, or if you're even going to win that fight. So every piece has to be able to change at a moment's notice, amping up into something more exciting, settling back down into something calm, or maybe building to a dramatic crescendo with a climactic discovery.
Yeah, in fact, most of the pieces from almost every game we'll be featuring were edited and mixed a little differently from what you hear in the game to make them more listenable as a standalone song.
Sure. And this is our last piece from Destiny 2, What We Fight For. You've been listening to selections from the Destiny 2 soundtrack, as composed by Michael Salvatore, Sky Lewin, C. Paul Johnson, and Rodin Moav, as performed by the Northwest Sinfonia and featuring the Kronos Quartet. I'm Angeli, and this is Press A to Play.
I'm Connor.
And I'm Devin.
And this episode, we're focused on big-name game developers in the Northwest and music from the big-budget games that they've produced. So far, we've heard a selection of music from games produced by Bungie. What are we hearing next?
Next, we've got something from Ghost of Tsushima, produced by Sucker Punch, also out of the Seattle area. Unlike Halo and Destiny, which are both based on far future sci-fi space exploration type of stuff, Ghost of Tsushima goes the other direction. It's set during the first Mongol invasion of Japan in the late 1200s. Thank you.
from the original soundtrack for Ghost of Tsushima, as composed by Ila Nishikari and Shigeru Umebayashi. That was The Way of the Ghost.
It's a track that in itself sounds pretty sneaky. In Ghost of Tsushima, you're a fallen lord on the island of Tsushima in Japan. The Mongols invaded and you lost a pretty decisive battle. Your soldiers were wiped out. Your family was captured. You were gravely wounded and barely survived. Now you're a one-man army trying to fight back and reclaim your island. But instead of fighting in the traditional, honorable, head-on, confrontational way you were taught as a samurai, you forsake your vows and take a stealthy, sneaky approach, fighting back from the shadows and disappearing like a ghost.
Oh, this sounds like a game with a very deep and complex story. We've come a long way from the simple premises of Pac-Man and Space Invaders. There are actually characters in these games that feel like real people with motivations and conflicting interests, histories, and story arcs.
That's really something that defines a lot of modern video games. I mean, yeah, a lot of games are still mostly about action and gameplay, but there's story, there's narrative, and the stories that can be told in video games have just been getting better and better. Ghost of Tsushima is heavily inspired by samurai films. Think like Akira Kurosawa and that hybrid of samurai lore and classic westerns. That's the kind of story that you're participating in as you move through the game.
Mm. And of course, the music can be another storytelling element, setting the scene, bringing you into this world of feudal Japan. Well, here we have a couple more selections from Ghost of Tsushima, Jin Sakai and The Way of the Samurai.
Thank you.
The Way of the Samurai and Jin Sakai from the original soundtrack for Ghost of Tsushima. The music by Ilan Ishkeri and Shigeru Umebayashi. It's here on Press A to Play. We're focusing this week on Northwest Heavy Hitter Studios and the music and the games that they've produced. I'm Anjali.
I'm Connor.
And I'm Devin.
Moving on to something considerably sillier, Team Fortress 2, made by Valve in Bellevue. Now, unlike the other games we've talked about today that are very heavy on their linear storytelling, Team Fortress 2 is much more of a match-based game, more like a sport than a story. Think Capture the Flag or King of the Hill, usually with two teams of players competing against each other. There is story and narrative, but it's not told in the gameplay itself, but through short films and comics released over the years as supplement to the game. A way to add character and intrigue without interrupting the gameplay itself. All right, I'm rambling a bit, but this is a really important game to me. It was one of the first ones where I found an online community to play with.
Oh, and community is everything. Team Fortress 2 came out back in 2007, and tens of thousands of people joined Connor and still playing today. Some play to compete, some just want to goof around and have fun, some are even making their own content for the game, custom maps and game modes that they can share with their friends.
And here's a jaunty piece from that Team Fortress 2 score, Rocket Jump Waltz. The music is by Mike Moraski and it's performed by the Valve Studio Orchestra. Oh, this is such fun music. That was Rocket Jump Waltz from the Team Fortress 2 score by Mike Moraski and performed by the Valve Studio Orchestra.
And we'll hear again from the Valve Studio Orchestra pretty soon. They are a really fun group. It's partly made up of session musicians from around the Northwest that come into the studio. The other part is a lot of people who are just regular office employees at Valve who happen to play an instrument and want to contribute.
I love that collaborative spirit. These folks are just going around the office saying, oh, you play this, you play that. Yeah, let's get together and record this.
Valve's pretty unique like that. They tend to hire people who are really creative with lots of diverse interests and talents, and they're all really driven and hardworking. And I get the impression that there's a lot of freedom for people there to explore their passions and work on the projects that interest them.
Yeah, that sounds like a place where someone can really put their personal stamp on a game.
Definitely. And because of that, Team Fortress 2 gets absolutely wild. It's such a weird mishmash of Western and like 60s, 70s spy thriller, and the breadth of the music in the game really reflects that.
Here's a couple more selections from that Team Fortress 2 soundtrack by Mike Moraski and the Valve Studio Orchestra, Intruder Alert, followed by The Calm.
We'll be right back.
You just heard a few selections from the Team Fortress 2 soundtrack, Intruder Alert and The Calm, as performed by the Valve Studio Orchestra, composed by Mike Moraski. This is Press A to Play, our exploration of video game music. This episode, we're listening to music from games that have come from big, heavy hitter studios based in the Northwest. I'm Anjali Dodia.
I'm Connor Henriksen.
And I'm Devin Gay.
So we're sticking with Valve for our next game with another classic, Dota 2.
That's short for Defense of the Ancients 2. Everybody just calls it Dota 2. This is another competitive team-based game, but not quite as silly as Team Fortress 2. Much more focus on video games as a sport, with actual paid professionals playing in the esports scene.
You know, one of the fun things about Dota is that the franchise actually started as a mod for another game. I talked a bit earlier about people making content for Team Fortress 2, but the truth is quite a few people who play games are pretty tech savvy, and they might even be aspiring developers themselves, like yours truly. Dota actually started out as custom content for the game Warcraft 3 made by the players.
That's exactly how Team Fortress 2 started, too. It was a mod for Quake back in the 90s. I'll stop talking about TF2 now.
Well, it's really amazing, honestly, that these hugely popular games started out as community projects, and those communities are still going strong decades later, even after the reins have been taken by big professional development studios. The next song is Reborn from the Dota 2 original soundtrack, as composed by Jason Hayes, who also worked on the Warcraft series. It is performed here by the Valve Studio Orchestra and Northwest Sinfonia and Choir under Timothy Williams' direction.
Thank you.
That was Reborn from the Dota 2 original soundtrack composed by Jason Hayes.
So that track was mostly made to get players hyped up for a major update that was coming to the game, something composed specifically for a trailer, but it doesn't actually play during gameplay. These next two pieces do, though.
The goal in Dota is to team up and take control of your opponent's base while their team tries to take control of yours. And the music that you're about to hear is constantly driving you forward, motivating you to push them back.
So this is Laning 2016 and First Blood from the Dota 2 soundtrack. A few selections from the Dota 2 original soundtrack, as performed by the Valve Studio Orchestra and Northwest Sinfonia and Choir under Timothy Williams' direction. That's Laning 2016 and First Blood, composed by Jason Hayes.
Two tracks that are very purposeful, very serious. They have a sense of urgency around them. But as we heard with the Team Fortress 2 soundtracks, Valve doesn't always take things so seriously.
And that's what this next tune really dives into. It comes from Portal. And if you know the game, you know what's coming next. For those who don't, what is this about?
Well, look, just telling you the premise, it might not seem very lighthearted. Portal is a pretty difficult puzzle game where you wake up in this strange laboratory and you're asked to complete a series of tests by a robotic voice. Those tests get more and more difficult and more dangerous, and you realize that the voice is coming from a psychopathic AI named GLaDOS, and it seems like it might be trying to kill you. It's definitely trying to kill you. It's like what would happen if Skynet really got its stuff together. But the game leans hard on dark comedy. Thanks entirely to GLaDOS, performed by Ellen McLean, with a lot of voice modulation and auto-tuning to make her sound appropriately robotic.
You know, Portal took the entire gaming community by storm. It honestly revitalized the puzzle genre at the time. It has this really clever, mind-bending gameplay, but it was also so, so funny. People would not stop quoting it. If you were into gaming in 07, 08, all you heard was, "The cake is a lie, the cake is a lie." I'm not even going to tell you what that means. If you don't already know, you should just go play the game. But as the cherry on top of an already amazing performance, Ellen McLean also sings the game's end credits theme in character as GLaDOS. That song, to this day, is one of the gaming community's all-time favorites to sing along to. Still alive.
This was a triumph. I'm making a note here, huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction. Aperture Science. We do what we must because we can. For the good of all of us, except the ones who are dead. But there's no sense crying over every mistake. You just keep on trying till you run out of cake. And the science gets done and you make a neat gun for the people who are still alive. I'm not even angry. I'm being so sincere right now. Even though you broke my heart and killed me, I'm torn into pieces and threw every piece into a pile. As they burned, it hurt because I was so happy for you. Now these points of data make a beautiful line, and we're out of beta, we're releasing on time. So I'm glad I got burned. Think of all the things we learned for the people who are still alive. Go ahead and leave me. I think I prefer to stay inside. Maybe you'll find someone else to help you. Maybe Black Mesa. That was a joke, haha, that chance. Anyway, this cake is great. It's so delicious and moist. Look at me still talking when there's science to do. When I look up there, it makes me glad I'm not.
And that was Still Alive, the ending credits music from Portal, written by Jonathan Colton and sung by Ellen McLean. Well, hey, thanks for listening to Press A to Play, produced by Northwest Public Broadcasting. Research and editing by Lyric Kano. Original theme music by Austin Schlichting. I'm Anjali Dodia.
I'm Connor Henriksen.
And I'm Devin Gay.
And in our next episode, we'll be focusing on smaller indie studios based in the Northwest, their games, and their music. Thanks for listening. And before we leave, remember, unsaved progress will be lost.